Next, it's Press Watch.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Big Money Agenda explores the effects of money in politics, Citizens United, as well as solutions to the issues of money in politics that's preventing real change. There will also be a discussion after the film. Again, that's the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and I'm Teresa Mitchell. And this is the news you're not supposed to know. We'll start with resident Ronald Rump. Today outlined the importance of faith in American society. And they say that the speech mirrored his State of the Union address. And then he proceeded to list his administration's accomplishments and goals. He said, since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights to extending the vote for women, have been led by people of faith. Yep, that's what he said. This is the best thing since making the pie higher. Today, I want to talk about socialism, because the president is apparently terrified of it. I'll get to that in a minute. More breaking news. Carlos Vecchio, the U.S. envoy for the would-be puppet government in Venezuela under Juan Guaido, has announced that he is ready to prostitute Venezuela's oil to the highest bidder. Vecchio told Bloomberg News that he wants to trash the requirement that 51% of Venezuelan oil revenues benefit Venezuelans. Vecchio, sitting comfortably eating canapés in an office in D.C. after attending Trump's State of the Union address, said, quote, "We want to go to an open economy. We want to increase oil production. And the majority of the oil production that we want to increase will be with the private sector," end quote. "Shall I take my clothes off now?" he said with a smile. Okay, I made that part up. Barely. The big news today is the Green New Deal. And I noticed during the State of the Union address that socialism came up. And the president's not happy with socialism. From Huffington Post, today, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also known as AOC, and Senator Ed Markey, who is not known as EM, unveiled a landmark resolution cementing the pillars of an unprecedented program to zero out planet warming emissions and restore the middle class prosperity of post-war America that the original New Deal helped spur. Now, if that was difficult to follow, it's because it was a terrible sentence. And just 3 months, they write, after calls for a Green New Deal electrified a long, stagnant debate on climate policy, the Democratic lawmakers released the six-page document outlining plans to cut global emissions 40 to 60% below 2010 levels by 2030 and neutralize human-caused greenhouse gases entirely by 2050. The legislators scheduled a news conference for today, 12:30 p.m. EST. That'll be 9:30 our time here on the Pacific Coast. So just when I'm done with the show, AOC is going to be announcing the Green New Deal, and I suggest you pay attention because this is our best hope right now to get some socialism going. And oh boy, do I want to talk about that. Socialism, socialism, socialism. Put on your furry hats and get out your borscht because we're going to talk socialism. Now, returning to the Huffington Post article, it's an ambitious, if measured, clarion call for action that, if accomplished, would transform the United States into the leader in decarbonizing and clearing a path forward for the world to avert catastrophic warming. The resolution stakes out a 10-year national mobilization plan to build grids and rapidly increase the share of American power generated from solar and wind from 10% today, who knew it was that much even, to as close as 100% as possible over the next decade. The plan reframes tired talk of repairing the nation's crumbled bridges, highways, and ports has a crisis and a new era of billion-dollar storms. It gets local, demanding upgrades to all existing U.S. buildings to achieve maximum efficiency with energy and water use. So you can read that on HuffPo right now. And as I said, at 9:30, AOC is going to be announcing it. And if national news organizations have any sense, they'll cover it live. But since when did they have any sense about that sort of thing? Now, to make my point about socialism and how much we need it, I want to repeat the opening sentence of an article by Colleen Boyle that appeared in InThesetimes.com. The quote is, "During the most recent fiscal year, the 30 companies that make up the Dow Jones Industrial Average gave $378.5 billion to shareholders. That translates to more than $46,000 for each of their combined 8 million employees." That's it. Get it? That's the change we need in a nutshell. And reverse back to reality, that is the predation that has destroyed the working class. Why can't a waitress pay her way through college anymore? Predatory post-Reagan corporate capitalism, which is promoted by both parties. But today we're talking Green New Deal. So let me say that again, because this hit me like lightning. During the most recent fiscal year, the 30 companies that make up the Dow Jones Industrial Average gave $378 billion to shareholders. That translates to more than $46,000 for each of their combined 8 million employees. What's wrong with your life? This, that, and the other, but don't you think that what you need to do and the goals that you have would be greatly improved if that $46,000 had not been taken from you? And that's how it works. That's how you become a billionaire. You take thousands of dollars from millions of people. You aggregate it for yourself, selfishly, stupidly. Crown yourself a king and buy anything you want, right up to nations. And that arrogation of wealth, that maldistribution of wealth, has destroyed the society. And I'm not just talking about everybody who's listening to me right now on a little battery-powered radio by the side of the freeway in a tent. Not just that. No, it's those lousy jobs that you're holding together, even though you've got a degree, or you might have a couple of degrees, and you're holding lousy, low-paying jobs, and you're holding them in desperation, and you're holding them against an army of other people who really want that lousy, low-paying job, and you're working too many hours, and you're not making enough. You can scarcely cover rent, and then food, ha! That's the $46,000 that's been taken from you. Are you making $35,000? You're doing pretty good if you are these days. It isn't jack compared to what $35,000 used to be 20 years ago. But if you were making another $46,000, you'd be doing just fine. So I'm going to read that one more time. During the most recent fiscal year, the 30 companies that make up the DJIA gave $378 billion to shareholders. That translates to more than $46,000 for each of their combined 8 million employees. That's where the money came from. It came from hard work. Where did it go? To people who are already insanely rich. And that has to be stopped. We need a Green New Deal. Returning to that article, which, as I said, is by Colleen Boyle. It's in InThesetimes.com. Look it up. During the most recent fiscal year, well, I said that, publicly traded companies like Nike, Coca-Cola, and Apple have many options for how to spend their profits. Historically, companies spent their profits reinvesting in their business through research and development, mergers and acquisitions, capital expenditures, and workforce training and increased salaries. Today, corporations are spending the majority of their profits on share repurchases and dividends, which enrich executives and shareholders while stiffing workers. In other words, they are sucking your blood and have been doing so increasingly since Reagan. That's my comment and not the In These Times article. But I will return to that article now. When companies repurchase shares, the stock price often goes up, which investors like, and which prior to SEC rule changes in 82 was viewed as illegal price manipulation. In addition, earnings per share increase, a metric that is often used to determine executive bonuses. The rise in the stock price at the time share buyback programs are announced allows executives to sell their shares and profit from their own actions. Research conducted by Securities and Exchange Commissioner Robert J. Jackson, Jr. found alarming evidence of corporate executives using share repurchases to sell their own stock, putting more company money into their own pockets. In short, it's graft, of course. People who are being paid millions of dollars, thousands of dollars per hour, being paid hundreds of times what the least paid or the average pay of their workers are, they don't actually earn that money. And I encourage you to take the word earn out of the phrase. CEOs earned, you know, a CEO of blah blah corporation earned $80 million. No, he didn't. He might have earned $80,000, might have earned $160,000, but he didn't earn $80 million. That's a misappropriation of wealth. And so let's talk socialism. In 1982, returning to the article, the Securities and Exchange Commission issued a rule that sets conditions under which publicly traded companies can repurchase shares without being in violation of anti-fraud provisions. Since then, share repurchases have steadily risen from an average 4% of corporate net income in 1983 to 27% by 86 and 50% from 2007 to 16. Combined with dividends, corporations spent 92% of net profits on shareholder payments between 2007 and 2016. And what that paragraph is saying is that it is political decisions that have set the table for taking the food out of your children's mouth. Returning to the article, meanwhile, real average hourly wages in 2018 are the same as they were in 1978. If you work for any of these companies, management is choosing to pay you far less than they could. Instead, management is shifting more money to the already very wealthy. The richest 10% of Americans own 84% of the values of stock. I'll say that sentence again. The richest 10% of Americans own 84% of the value of shares of stock. So when you hear on faux news that you know, the stock market lifts all boats, no, it doesn't. It doesn't lift your life jacket either. The National Institute on Retirement Security found that 57% of working age adults, over 100 million people, do not have any retirement account assets. And for people with retirement accounts, the median account balance is zero. The median account balance is zero. So again, that article is in These Times. And I'm trying to make the point that because of political decisions, especially since the Reagan era, the capitalist deal has fallen through. When FDR put through a new deal, he was doing so in competition with socialism. This is something that has changed. They don't worry about socialism anymore, which is why it's so significant that President Rump got up and started talking about socialism. I was so happy to hear him say socialism. You're not supposed to say that word. Sort of like when Ross Perot said capitalism. Uh-oh. Because the victory of capitalism, the victory of corporate capitalism, is so intense, it's so severe, that the best bet is for you not to have any analysis of what's going on at all. And that has worked very well. But if you go back, to the Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, and even Nixon years, there was a competition going on because people knew much in a much greater degree what socialism was or had some inkling of it. And so what the presidents and the Congress and the society and the corporate leaders were saying at that time, essentially, you know, they tried not to say it directly, but what they were saying is, there's here, we got a deal. You're going to have a house, you're going to have a car. And you can forget about the equitable distribution of wealth because you got yours, you're doing just fine. And so there was competition. And that would be talked almost directly by Eisenhower, for example. He'd talk about how the workers' wages had gone up, how the percentage was increasing and this sort of thing. And it really was. And it's no coincidence that those were the richest years for American workers. Those were the years when you really could work your way through college waiting tables. But especially accelerating post-Reagan, that has been sucked away from the workers so that you can scarcely make rent. I mean, if you want to make rent, you know, you're going to have to work two of those waitress jobs. And, you know, and to make rent and to have some food on your table and all the other things that you need to do, not to mention paying for that ridiculously bloated student loan payment. The deal has changed. It used to be a deal. Now it's just a ripoff. So now comes AOC. Now comes Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the wake of Bernie Sanders talking socialism, talking Green New Deal. And it is so frightened the elites that President Trump got up and said the word socialism right up there in front of Congress and the Supreme Court and God and everyone. Socialism. And so people are looking it up. What's socialism? Check it on Google Trends. Guarantee it's going up. People want to know what it is. Why is the president afraid? And of course, they're trying to... He wants to go back to those ugly years in which to say that you were a socialist, or even to say that your friend was socialist, was enough to set forward a series of acts of violence, essentially, where you could lose your job, where you could be deported, you could be shunned. People were very, very careful. People learned to be very, very careful to assure everyone else that they are nothing like a socialist. You know, God help them, everyone would just take a pledge, practically, to assure each other, oh no, we're not socialists. We don't even think about that word. All these years later, that's worked very well. First, it was the deal that worked, plus the intimidation. Then it became just the intimidation that worked to keep you from thinking about socialism. Well, President Trump is trying to double down on the intimidation because people have realized that they can't make it. You're not going to make it on these broken wages. And what we need to look at, what we really need to acknowledge, what the American worker needs to acknowledge is, first, the American worker is a worker and you're not middle class. You're not. You're not middle class. You're a worker if you get a paycheck. You're middle class if you have made so much money for so long that you don't need to work for a couple of years. That's in the middle. That's middle class. Hardly any of you listening to me right now are in that position. What you need to acknowledge as an American worker is that we as a people are broken. We are beaten. We are impoverished. This is a broken nation. The corporations have won. They have beaten us. You are beaten. You have lost. You have been beaten down. And all I'm asking is you acknowledge that and stop collaborating with your oppressors. Stop collaborating with your oppressors. Listen to the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is a way of acknowledging this state of affairs. You can hedge around it and say, oh, we need infrastructure. People need better wages. Oh, yes, they certainly do. People need economic rights. And we see what happens when economic rights are taken away. And you, as a beaten down American worker, are only a paycheck or two away from the side of a freeway, and you know it. Stop collaborating. Stop pretending that you're a temporarily embarrassed millionaire, as Steinbeck said. Now, returning to the article, for example, Home Depot employed 413,000 workers throughout North America, paying a median wage of $21,000, which is below the U.S. poverty line for a family of four in 2017. But it paid shareholders $12.2 billion, or $29,000 per worker. Home Depot could have doubled workers' wages and still given almost $3.5 billion to shareholders. And departing from the article, they're not going to do that until we force them to, until we get in the streets, until we are clear about who has beaten us and what kind of battle we need to fight to get our rights back. Home Depot and all the other Dow Jones companies, all the capitalists, will just keep beating us down because that's what they do now. Vampiric. Returning to the article, Nike, Coca-Cola, and Visa each could have quadrupled the pay of their median employee with the cash they sent to shareholders. Quadrupled the pay. Nike paid a median wage of $24,000, which is under the poverty threshold for a family of four, but spent $58,000 per worker on share repurchases and $17,000 per worker on dividends. That should have gone to the workers. It must go to the workers. They must stop. And it is our right. But returning to the article, Coca-Cola paid a median wage of $47,000 but gave shareholders $162,000 per employee. So if they gave half of it to their employees, then their employees would be making more than $120,000 a year. You'd be doing just fine on that. Put your kids through college. Visa's median wage was a healthy $132,000, but it gave shareholders $535,000 per worker. Incredible. And that used to be more of the deal. You know, the companies were making bank, but they were given more per worker. But returning to the article, by far the worst example is Apple. For its fiscal year that ended September 29th, 2018, Apple spent an incredible $72 billion repurchasing shares and distributed another $13 billion in dividends. Apple's median wage was $55,000, and most workers, speaking for myself, were paid much less than that, while it gave shareholders $654,000 per worker, more than 11 times the median wage of their 132,000 employees. And they write, it's difficult to quantify the economy-wide impact of this shift in wealth. But again, speaking for myself, for me it's not difficult. You see it every day. I saw at least 10 homeless people, 10 houseless people on the way in from my house. Incredible. Wretched. Terrible poverty. And why? Political decisions. The logical outcome of capitalism? Maybe. But it's this incredibly vampiric corporate capitalism that Trump represents, that Nancy Pelosi represents, that has done this. Political decisions have done this. Returning to the article, in 2017, the U.S. median household income, that's everybody in the house, $61,000. Median income for men was $44,000, and median income for women was $31,000. Imagine if several million workers had an extra $10,000 a year to spend on their families, or $20,000, or $100,000. Much of that money would circulate in local economies rather than sitting in a small number of investment accounts. And speaking again for myself, that's very true. These things circulate. And the fact now is that it doesn't circulate. Now, some enterprising soul has decided to call in, and I wasn't going to take calls, but I think, what the heck, I will, because I want to talk about socialism. So go ahead. You're on the air. The number to call is 503-231-8187, and Stuart's on the air.
Hey, you know, I heard that there were a lot of, like, millionaires that are kind of sticking up for the working class or whatever, and a handful of them that are trying to point out how corporate greed is taking over and stuff. And I think that needs to happen a lot more too. You know, these people who are in the middle of it and see it happening and continue to do it have to, you know, change their ways and you know, stick up for us. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that people who are in that class get into a psychological trap in which they can't settle for their wealth, and they have to compete with each other no matter how high the wealth that they actually have is, because they don't believe in their own worth unless they are absolutely at the top of the heap in terms of the wealth. So what needs to be done for these people is what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez suggests, and that is a marginal tax. In other words, what she's proposing is you get your first $10 million and nothing changes in terms of taxes. But the second $10 million, that's what a marginal tax is. The margin is $10 million. On the second $10 million, 70% gets taxed. So if you made $11 million, your $10 million would be taxed per normal, and the additional million would be taxed $700,000. So you would have to, you know, go home crying with only $10,300,000.
Right.
That will prevent people from amassing billions of dollars. And because when they do amass billions of dollars, then they go to Congress, they buy their congressmen. All the congressmen are bought now by the corporations,
right,
especially Nancy Pelosi and Trump. And they are going to absolutely support the people who pay their fat checks. And we can't compete. And that's, you know, that's only part of it. I mean, the fact that we can't make a decent wage means we have to work extra. It means that we're stressed. We're not going to pay. We don't have time to pay attention to politics. So they've got that away from us as well.
That's
and when it comes to the voting day, we don't have a voting holiday. You can't get off work. You know, they've got it done. So we really have to rage and go to the streets and stop them, because the victory has been won and we've been stomped down.
I totally agree. Hey, I want to thank you for what you do. I mean, and your point is just so true. So keep it up. I mean, we got to do something, and we got to do it now.
Well, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I might be able to get one more caller in. Now, I was going to talk about the Office of Independent Review. I think that's what OIR stands for. But I think I'm going to double down on the Green New Deal, because Green New Deal is happening, as I was saying. Ocasio-Cortez and others are launching it this morning in about 5 minutes. They will go live, and not on this station, but I mean they will go live and start talking about the Green New Deal. And I want to point your attention to it, because this is a huge chance to make something happen. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi is terrified of it. And let me see if I can find what she said exactly. Put the piece of paper in the wrong place. Okay, so basically Nancy Pelosi is already, she's getting snarky about it. She's calling it the Green New Dream or whatever, and, you know, trying to emphasize that it's impossible and it's just a silly idea and these people have no experience and all the things she can possibly say to make you think that it's a stupid idea and you should go look at something else. But it is exactly, I mean, it combines the two things that we need. The environment needs to be fixed, and the people need to get paid for the work that they actually do. We're not getting paid. When you're not getting paid enough to make your rent, you're just not getting paid in any substantial way. And when you've got gigantic debts that you had to get into the workforce in the first place, what you've got is indentured servitude. Indentured servitude. Not the capitalist dream. You know, you don't have that. So Nancy Pelosi is terrified of this, and she's, you know, very much going to support the people who support her, who get her into office, and that would be the giant capitalists that have bought and paid for her political campaigns. So you can call now. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Do you have one caller? Hey, we're talking about the Green New Deal. We're talking about socialism. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I think you'll be the last caller.
All right. So you brought up the Green New Deal at the beginning, and you know what AOC and Markey are doing. It's really awesome pushing this. You know, we have EFA and other groups in Oregon that are pushing for an Oregon Green New Deal as well. And they're calling for a carbon tax. They've come out against the Democrats for what they're trying to ram through legislation here, the cap and invest that would essentially stop all climate discussions in the next at least 5 years. And they're proposing a 30-year plan to reduce carbon emissions.
You need to get closer to the speaker. I can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better?
A little better. Go ahead.
Okay, here. Let me take you off my... Bluetooth really quick. That'll be easier.
All right. Sorry about that.
Go
so,
ahead.
You know, the Democrats are trying to shove down a cap and invest program on us and not listening to what the science is and what a Green New Deal would do for Oregon, right?
Yeah, don't believe in crap and trade. That's just a shell game.
Yeah, so I just graduated with my bachelor's in environmental studies from Portland State, and a lot of what we talked about was what works better and what do we need to do? What do we need to accomplish? And the science has proven that a carbon tax is a much more effective plan. The Green New Deal that AOC is pushing is a 10-year plan to become carbon neutral, and a carbon tax can do the same thing here in Oregon.
Okay, and we're going to have to leave it at that because I'm out of time now, and thank you very much for making that point. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and you've been listening on 90.7 FM and other frequencies in the Cascadia area, and you've been listening to KBOO.FM going out to you and to all the ships at sea.
K. Cebu Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of Cebu in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about Cebu Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Well, good morning. This is KBOO, your radio station. Show is Fight the Empire, and my name is Per Fogring. And today we're going to start out with a big picture. The oil that we use was actually formed millions of years ago, but we've used about half of it in just two centuries. So let me say that again. The oil that we use was formed millions and millions of years ago, and we used half of it in just 200 years. And the other half is kind of unusable because of climate effects and pollution. We're filling the sky with junk. If you look at a graph of energy use over history, the rise of